Hello and welcome to Reasonably Fit. We're Jason and Lauren Pack, and this is the podcast for anyone who wants a more thoughtful and grounded approach to health and fitness.
Our guest joining us today is Saman Munir, aka SFM underscore fitness on Instagram. Saman is a fitness influencer, a personal trainer, the first female Muslim Under Armour representative, recipient of the International Fitness Influencer of the Year Award in 2021, and a mom of three beautiful children. She started documenting her fitness journey after having her third child before she could even do a proper push-up, as she says. And today she is the push-up queen, knocking out variations we've never even seen before. And that's just a small insight into the positive example she sets for girls and women everywhere that you can be strong and powerful and overcome any boundaries you think are standing in your way. In today's episode, we talked to Saman about how negative feedback about her body and appearance impacted her as a young girl and how she's determined to break that cycle now, how she became an influencer in two different fields, first makeup and beauty and then in fitness, and the importance of representation of Muslim women in fitness. This was such an amazing conversation with a beautiful person inside and out, and we think you're going to absolutely love this interview with Saman, so let's get right into it.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Hello? We got it. It was us. Sorry.
Okay. No, right.
We've done enough of these that you would think we would have all the technical details worked out, but it's still...
It's all good. It's all good.
All right. We're good to go. I can't believe we're doing this. This is so awesome.
Yeah. I know. We're so excited. Yeah. It's always funny when we haven't had any like face-to-face interactions with someone, but we've known each other, you know, online for so long. Okay. Yeah. So thank you. First of all, thank you so much for doing this and being with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So I want to get into sort of before fitness, because I know that fitness was not your first or even second, maybe third career. Like it was, you know, you've done a lot beforehand. I've been doing a little research on you. You were a quality control specialist at an automotive and aerospace company. I know you had a makeup and beauty channel on Instagram. You've done a lot before you became, you know, fitness Saman. And so can you give us a little bit of a background on that?
Absolutely. So before I got married, I was working for obviously, an aerospace company as a document specialist, as you said. And I told my husband, when we got married, I told my husband, like, once I have kids, we both decided that I'm going to stay home. I'm going to quit my job. So when I had my daughter in 2008, I stayed home. But you know what? Because I've been working so much, and it's like you're itching to do something. Like, I have her. I'm taking care of her. He's working. But I wanted to do something. And at that time, there was no Instagram. There was no Snapchat or anything like that or TikTok. It was only Facebook. And I was really curious about makeup. I love makeup and hijab, and I wanted to do something in that in beauty. So I said, okay, you know what? Let me start a page. And surprisingly, it went really well. Like, you know, I started posting pictures of myself putting makeup or even videos on YouTube, how to style a hijab. And I did that for like good 7 to 8 years. Like, even I got, like, I've been started doing bridal makeup. I learned everything from YouTube. But deep down, I knew that makeup was not my thing. Like, I just kind of got bored of it. I wasn't so confident about it. And then my husband suggested in 2017, he's like, you know what? There are not a lot of Muslim people or Muslim couples doing workouts together or, you know, talking about fitness. So let's start doing that. I said, okay. So he's the one who recommended me to start a new Instagram page. I said, okay, let's do that. And that's why it's called SFM. Underscore fitness, because someone, his name is Fahim. We both have our last name starts with M. So I said, okay, let's do SFM underscore fitness.
That's I always assumed F was your middle name.
No, it was his name. And yeah, and 1 week later, he's like, okay, I'm done. You continue. I'm busy with work. So at that time, obviously my mindset was not like positive. It was all, I mean, before I even started the page, it was all about how can I lose weight, because I had my third child. But once I started the Instagram SFM fitness, I started obviously getting influenced by other athletes, and I'm like, okay, you know what, maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I should start learning how to do push-ups. So I changed that mindset. I said, forget about losing weight, it's not gonna work. Just put the scale away and start learning how to do push-ups and start learning how to do pull-ups. Like, I saw these cool stuff. I'm like, okay, let me just start doing that. And if you go all the way down, you see how bad my form is when I'm doing push-up and all that. It just, I slowly, slowly grew with my page.
I love that so much. So yeah, I mean, I kind of knew through seeing some of your posts and some of your story, I kind of knew that your page more so started out as just documenting your personal fitness journey. Like, were you, and it's now become so much more than that. It's become, you're representing Muslim women in fitness. You are inspiring people around the world. Like, there's so much more to your page. Do you feel overwhelmed by that sometimes when your initial intention was just to share?
Correct. I do, because when I had 6,000, I think almost 6,000 followers, and that's the time I started tagging all the brands. Because like I said, I was an influencer as a makeup, right, as a makeup artist, and I knew how to contact these brands and how to get their attention. So I started tagging all the brands, all of the sports brands, and I started emailing everybody. And when Under Armour was the only one that came back to me and said, we would like to have you as an influencer for 3 months. So that was a big deal for me. Mm. And that's when I was like, oh, no. I can't be just doing like squats or body. I got to do something more. I got to show them. What if they put, I was just assuming, like, what if they put my video on their page? At that time, I couldn't even do a proper push-up. But I'm like, what if? And that's when I said, no, I haven't raised the bar. I got to work hard. I got to do something different. I got to come to their level now. So I just pushed myself. Like, I work really, really hard to where I am right now.
What's really interesting to me is you were already an influencer in a completely different area with a massive base of followers, and then you completely transition. That takes not only a lot of guts, but a lot of self-confidence and just a lot of clarity in your vision. Like, walk us through how you made that transition, or like what made you know that it wasn't the right fit for you in terms of your previous account?
Like I said, for the fitness account, I just started as for fun, like, you know, just let me just record, like, and let me see how I can progress with this, because I always loved fitness, but my mindset was not, it was always about losing weight. It was always in me, like, you know, I love doing kickboxing, I love doing Muay Thai and all that stuff, but I didn't have the positive mindset. But once I started, it became, I didn't know it was going to grow. I didn't know Under Armour was going to approach me and say, okay, I want to work with you. I have no idea that I was even going to design a hijab with them. I just started for fun. I didn't even know I was going to be a personal trainer. I was like, no, I'm just going to do me. I don't want to do a personal trainer. I don't want to be nothing. I just want to just focus on myself. But slowly, slowly, that's why when people ask me, what are you going to do in the next 5 years? I said, I don't know. I just go with the flow. I don't know. I'm just going to go with the flow. And if it takes me that way, I will go that way. Whatever, you know, whatever opportunities come, I will take it. No problem. So it took a little while, but surprisingly it went really well for me.
You know, it's funny. We've worked with so many people who, or, you know, have communicated with so many people who have grown accounts on social media, and then other people who are struggling to grow accounts on social media. And oftentimes the people who aren't trying that hard for the likes and for the followers and are just sharing themselves and just offering what they have to offer and being so authentic, their pages take off because people can see that, right?
True. That is so true. And that's the only way to grow, is to be authentic, be yourself, be unique. You don't need to, with the good thing that you mentioned, because with makeup, I felt like I was just going through a phase. I saw other people doing it and I started doing it. And I felt like at that one point, I'm stuck now. I don't know what to do. But with this one, I'm really passionate about it. I love what I do. I can't see myself stopping now. It's like there's always something going on in my head. Maybe I should do this. Maybe there's so many opportunities. There's so many people that I can work with. With the beauty, I felt like there was a lot of people who did not want to work with me. If there's too many women, you know, when there are too many females, it becomes a little a problem. But with the fitness, I felt like it was a bit different.
Yeah.
The community is a bit different. People want to work with you. And with me, I felt like the only way to grow is that you have to work with other people. You have to collaborate with other people. And that's the only way to grow, is when you work with other people, because you learn so much.
Awesome mindset to have, especially, I mean, even in fitness, it's like you have like certain camps, and, you know, the powerlifting crowd doesn't really jive well with the bodybuilding crowd. And then there's the CrossFit crowd. Everyone like has their own crowd and all that. And we definitely gravitated towards your page because you're just welcoming to all different modalities. Cause it's like, why put up these walls? Like, we're all trying to achieve similar goals and all that. So it's like, why don't we come together and just like have fun with it? Cause it should be fun. So love the sort of like, Yeah, inclusive vibe there.
I totally agree with that. You got to work with everybody. That's the only way you learn, because although even if I work with somebody who does the same thing as me, but there's always something that you pick up and learn. Like, hey, they do it something different. Maybe I should try it that way. Like, especially with collaborating, I've learned a lot. And like I said, I'm new to this. I was new to this. I don't have a degree in kinesiology or whatever. I just did a personal training course. And for me, it's just watching other people, learning from other. And that's the way I've learned from, like, you know, how to grow and everything.
Yeah. Well, we say all the time that there's no amount of degrees or certifications or, you know, credentials can make you good at communicating with people and connecting with people.
Correct.
And that is one of the biggest factors in being a successful personal trainer or influencer, is being able to make other people feel good, right? And
correct, absolutely.
You do that so well. You don't need a kinesiology degree. You can learn all that stuff on your own. Like, there are textbooks for that. Like, you can learn that, but to just be a welcoming, inviting person, there's just an X factor there that you have.
No, that's true. Kindness costs nothing.
Yes, exactly. I love that. So obviously the page started out, you're just doing your workouts, you're showing what you're doing. Your husband encouraged you to do it, which is amazing. Why do you think that representation is so important on social media? And I know that you were one of the first, you know, very viral or successful Muslim women in fitness. And why is representation so important?
Because growing up, I didn't see any hijabi women. And for me, I feel like representation is so important, because then other people can envision themselves. Okay, you know what? If she's a mom, she's a hijabi, if she can do it, so can we. And unfortunately, growing up, I cannot imagine, or I didn't see anyone, like, you know, playing sports and stuff like that. Maybe that's why I never gravitated towards playing sports or being fit. So I feel like representation is so important for Muslim women, especially when we have the stereotype that Muslim women shouldn't be working out or they should be in the kitchen. Funny you said that, because somebody just told me just recently, oh, you should be in the kitchen cooking. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm a mother of three kids. I am always in the kitchen cooking, but I do my workout as well. Yeah.
I love that response. That's perfect. It's like, you can do it all. You can cook and you can work
out. Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think is unique about your husband encouraging you to take this on?
Honestly, I think without his support, I wouldn't be here. I have his full support. He's the one who's always telling me, Saman, you should do boxing. You should fight with this person. I'm like, why are you after this? He's like, no. I think you'll do very well. He is very encouraging. He's very supportive of what I do. He's basically my number one fan. And that's the only way I'm so successful, is because he's always, you know, pushing me to be better, to do better, always telling me, you know, you should try something different, never tells me, oh, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't, always encouraging me.
That's so cool. I love that.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So let's talk about your collaboration with Under Armour. So you got them to pay attention to you, you got them to start following you. How did it get to the point where you were then helping them to create the first, if not, you know, one of the first
Correct.
Sports hijabs? Like, how did that whole trajectory happen?
So the first 3 months, like I said, I was an influencer with Under Armour. So they were just trying to check, you know, let's see how I'm going to do and everything. And then after 3 months, they said, okay, why don't you become an ambassador? So when I became an ambassador, then I said, you know what? So everybody else has the hijab, a sports hijab. We need to create one too. It literally took 1 year to go back and forth to plan. And then once they said, yes, okay, now we're going to design the hijab, then they started sending me the hijab and said, okay, how does this look? How does that look? Some of them were see-through, so I said, no, this is not good. Maybe we should do it this way. Maybe we should that way. And then it took us 2 to 3 years to come up with a proper sports hijab.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a lot of time and effort. And how, like...
Oh, absolutely.
Were you just testing them out? Were you there? Like, what was your involvement?
I wasn't there, but I was testing them out, like seeing if it dries quickly, if it's breathable, if it's not see-through, if it's covering enough. So all that stuff I had to go through and tell them, okay, you know what, maybe we should do this. Maybe it should be a little bit longer. It's a bit see-through. Maybe we should change the color. So all that.
I love that. We had several women at our gym who wore hijabs when we were training them, and they didn't have, I don't think, when did that come out, the Under Armour one?
Oh my goodness. It's been 3 years now, 2-3
okay,
years.
Okay, that makes sense. So they didn't have it at the time, or at least we couldn't find any, because I remember searching for like athletic wear, like trying to find one, because we actually ended up having to change a lot of our programming to work you know, to make sure that everybody felt comfortable who was wearing a hijab, because floor-based exercises where you might be laying on your back, like, it might slip, and there's just all these considerations. So it's not just, like, the representation, but it's also, like, it was limiting a lot of what people could do in the gym, right? And so what have you found has been, you know, the biggest transition in being able to now work out a little bit more comfortably?
It makes a huge difference because, obviously, when I wear this hijab, it kind of pulls down and I have to keep on, you know, fixing it. But with the Under Armour hijab, like, if I have to do any explosive movements or if I'm doing boxing or kickboxing or Muay Thai, it just stays there. But that makes a huge difference. And obviously you're more focused. You don't have to keep on worrying about this hijab is going to slip off. It happened to me once, and honestly, telling you, it is the most scary feeling ever. So yeah, but honestly, the Under Armour hijab is one of the best sports hijab that I've come across. But obviously I'm part of it, so I'm always gonna love it.
Well, yeah, you helped design it and make it the best that it could be.
Absolutely.
So.
That must have been a super cool process of just going back and forth and having like an inside look, but behind like product development and shipping and inventory and all that. Was that like a cool experience for you to be able to be behind the scenes behind that whole innovation process?
Absolutely. Because a lot of people were asking me, is Under Armour going to come up with a hijab? Is Under Armour? I said, we're doing something. We're working on it. Let's see. But the best part was to do the, when I had to be part of the photo shoot and the filming of the hijab. That was the best part of it. The 7 hours of photo shoot that we went on with the hijab and, you know, doing all the exercises and stuff like that, that I really enjoyed.
You must have gotten like chills, like putting it on, like going through the photo shoot for the first time. Like, that's such a cool feeling to be like, this is actually like, I'm 100% involved in this and put this thing together. That's so cool.
True. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's also Canada's first product because most of the products are all made or designed by American.
Oh, wow.
So this was our first product that Canadians were. So the Canadian Under Armour was really, really happy. Like, this is going to be our product.
Wow, that's awesome. So cool. Just multiple levels. That's awesome.
So obviously we know that you've made a hugely positive impact on social media. Do you, like you mentioned, you got a comment just the other day, you should be in the kitchen. Do you get any negativity? Do you get any comments that are hard to hear? And how do you handle that?
Oh my goodness. All the time. You get it all the time. You know what? The first few seconds, it kind of burns you. Mm. It bothers you. But you know what? There's no point of replying back. You just ignore it.
Yeah.
Just ignore it. Sometimes, I mean, I would say something nice and like, obviously kindness, just say something in a kind way so they don't get offended. But sometimes it's just better to be quiet and ignore it.
Yeah, I get that.
Because you know what? Some people, you cannot change their mind. They're just going to go back and forth, back and forth. And there's no point.
Is it like through DMs or comments or kind of all the above?
Oh, all the above. DM, comments, everywhere. Even if I comment on someone else's pages, I get like weird comments reply back and I just ignore it. I'm like, I'm not going to be bothered.
It's such like a jarring thing, like where, you know, for the most part, like I would say 90% of people are so kind and so like thankful for the content and all that. And then 10%, like I'll get stuff like open your eyes and like all the sort of like Asian stereotypes and whatnot. And it's like, it's a very like jarring effect. You're like, whoa, you're kind of taken out of the fact that, you know, everyone is like supporting each other and whatnot. It's like a...
But you can imagine how miserable their lives are. Like, I feel sorry for them. Like somebody who's happy would never, ever have a negative thought for other people. We're like happy people. We're never ever want to see somebody, you know, we won't be rude to other people, but people who are sad and miserable in their life, they're the only one who are going to be, you know, miserable with other people. And you just pray for them that, you know, just God makes easy for them.
Yeah,
that's so true. And it's such a helpful thing. I mean, whether you have a large presence online or whether you're just living your life, like we're always going to encounter people who are going to have certain feelings or stereotypes or whatever. And like, it's just such a good thing to be able to come back to that and remember that like they're feeling a certain kind of way, which is making them project that onto you.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And you cannot please everybody. So
yeah, but you do an amazing job. I mean, I just feel like when I watch you, you're just having so much fun. You're just like joyful.
I know.
One of my favorite thing is, have you always had rhythm? Like, have you always been able to dance, or is this like a newfound thing that you can do all these dance moves?
No, I just, no rhythm at all. Like that the reason I can do shuffle, if you're talking about shuffle, yeah, because my upper body is not moving. So it's like one thing at a time. I can't do both up and down. So I like the shuffle part because it's only the bottom part. But if you tell me to do the top, I'm totally confused. Unquote. But you know what? It's funny because that 2 minute, or that's right, the 30 second video takes 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
It looks so clean. It looks like, oh, wow, it's so easy. But when I started, it's like, holy, from going from here to there, it takes so much longer. The process is just like amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, walk us through your content creation process, because I know you mentioned you were a stay-at-home mom to 3 kids, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And then you were growing your makeup channel and you have this now. Like how does that work? Because I know like when we're trying to create content with the kids, it's like, shoot something really quick and then like save like a falling child and then like entertain the big one. It's like, it's just like nonstop. Yeah. And it's like so stressful. Like how, correct, like were you doing it like when during naps, after hours, like how were you kind of like growing your following?
That's a good question, because that's why I started after my third child.
Okay.
If you're talking about fitness with the makeup one, I remember my kids, I used to put them to sleep, or if they're just doing something, you know, playing, together or whatever, then I'll do it. But when it came to fitness, by that time my third child was already 4 years old, so they all started going to school. And that's okay, when I'm like, okay, when they're gonna go be in school, that's when I'm gonna start doing my work. So that's how I started.
That makes more sense. So we were like, how does she do this?
This is amazing.
Actually, speaking of motherhood, like a lot of your page, like we were talking about, has started from just documenting your own personal fitness journey and being a mom, being a primary caregiver. A lot of times, as we know, it can be really hard to prioritize your own health and fitness because you're caring for other people so much. And so I know a lot of our listeners to this podcast are our parents, our caregivers. Like, what advice can you give them, not from a social media standpoint or anything like that, but just from a taking on a fitness journey standpoint, what advice can you give them to start prioritizing their own health and fitness?
So I would just say, like, you know, set a small goal and try to, you know, accomplish it. For example, in the morning, just do stretches. And once that becomes a habit, then obviously make bigger goals. And from there, like, set small goals, take baby steps if you have to, and then slowly, you know, make bigger and bigger goals. And once you achieve them, you know, then you can obviously get to another one. But you have to start from somewhere. You have to, especially mothers, they have to take care of themselves so they can take care of the kids. Sometimes I know as a mom, we feel guilty, we're not doing enough and all that stuff. But honestly, trust me, that 5, 10 minutes or even 20 minutes of workout that you can do on yourself will make a huge difference. The days when I'm cranky, my husband would tell me, someone just go to the gym. Just leave the house. Just go. Honestly, that 20, 30 or 1 hour, whatever I spent in the gym, I feel like a newborn. I feel like it's just like a free therapy that I'm getting. I feel so much better. All my anxiety, all my problems are just all of a sudden disappear. So that's what I'm going to say. Just set small goals. Once they become a habit, and go to a bigger goal, and then just slowly, you know, progress. It takes time. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Were you always athletic? Like, did you play sports when you were younger? Like, what was your fitness journey like?
Never played sports. I'm from Pakistan. So I lived in Pakistan for 8 years. And over there, our people do not have a filter. They will say whatever they want to say. So I used to be called names that I'm fat, I'm chubby, I'm this, I'm that. And I heard that all the time. So when I came back, I was born here in Canada. But then when I was 6 years old, I went to Pakistan and I came back after 8 years. And that's when I realized, okay, I need to do something about it. So I was in high school and I just wanted to lose weight. So I started like eating healthy and just walking. And just that's all. But since from there till I had my third child, it was in my mind that I need to lose weight. It was always about how can I be skinny? How can I have skinny arms? How can I have skinny legs? So went to the gym, treadmill, cardio, never thought about even lifting the weight. That was a big no-no. So that's how like slowly, like once I said, once I obviously started my page, my whole mindset changed when I saw other people doing other things. I'm like, okay, maybe I should try that. Maybe I should stop obsessing about losing weight and all that stuff. Mm. So as a child, I've never played any sports. Never.
It's amazing because like looking at you now, it's like the agility ladder and all the different drills that you do. It's like, oh, she's so smooth. Like she must have played soccer, like all that sort of stuff.
No, never, never, ever. Even in high school, never played sports. College, university, never played sports. Only cardio. That's all I did was cardio.
So now that you're a mom and you had that experience of having people speak negatively to you about your body, are you much more aware of how you're speaking to your kids about your body and about their bodies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My daughter, like, you know, I tell her all the time, you're beautiful. Because, you know, she's 15 almost, and she's obviously what she sees on social media, or she said that she's like, I want to be skinny. I said, no, baby, you're fine. You look amazing. If you want to do something, just eat healthy and move, mom. You only need to move. Just move a lot. That's it. You don't need to worry about losing weight. Don't worry about that stuff. But you know what? I can't stop that, because she sees it all everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. But she knows that she sees me. Like, even my niece the other day, she's telling me, so what do you do? I said, look, I eat everything in moderation. So she was going telling her mother, Auntie someone said she eats everything. Mommy, you should eat everything, but you need to work out. That's what I want to tell the kids. Like, eat everything in moderation, but move. You got to move.
Yeah, I love that. And they're seeing such a positive example of somebody who's moving and loving it, not moving because you hate your body, not moving because you're punishing yourself.
Correct.
That's such a different approach than probably what you were brought up with and what I was brought up with, for sure.
Absolutely. No, the way I've been told is, oh, someone eat less. Like my family members used to tell my mother, what kind of weed is she eating? She's so big. Because they used to keep comparing me with my sister. My sister was skinny and I was chubby. Like, what kind of bread are you feeding her? She's so big.
Oh my God.
The other sister is so skinny. So I grew up just being compared with my sister all the time. So I learned that there is no way ever I'm going to compare my kids, or I'm going to ever tell them that they look fat or they're chubby. I always tell them, you're beautiful, you're confident. Like, but I don't blame my parent as well, because that's how they grew up. Mm-hmm. But I have to break that cycle. I don't want that. Yeah. I'm not going to let that happen. So
yeah, it's so similar in Asian culture, where it's like no filter. It's very, especially around weight. It's very like, just very, very to the point with all that sort of stuff. And it's like,
yep.
Trying to tell them, that's like, hey, that's not okay to say. That's not polite or PC. And it's like, you're trying to tell your parents, they're like,
yep.
Nope, you need to lose weight. Nope, you need to get on a diet. We're like, oh my goodness.
One time Jason was like telling, or no, one of his friends was telling me a story about how he went to Jason's parents' house, like in high school, and his mom opened the door and she was like, oh, you've gotten fat.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh my God.
Exactly. I can totally relate. Totally. And then I have to keep on reminding my mom, Mama, don't say that kind of stuff. You can't say that. So you said it to me, but you can't say it to my kids. Mama, you gotta change. And it's going to take time. Like I said, like, they grew up different way, but we parents have to break that cycle. And we have to make sure that we don't do this kind of damage to our kids, because it's with me forever now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are times where I also feel insecure, and I'm like, come on, stop it, somebody. You're good. You're fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you created this page, you had your collaborations and all of that, but you continue to get stronger and you continue to keep like progressing in your own fitness journey. Do you have a personal trainer? Have you worked with people who have helped you, or are you all self-taught?
No. There was point, like with my muscle up, that was my biggest goal, was to get a one muscle up. And you know, I had doubted myself. I worked on myself. Like, I started this from 2019 or 220, and I was doing good with the muscle with the bands, but I couldn't do it without the bands. And I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, maybe I have to lose weight, maybe I'm too old, maybe I'm not strong enough. And then I'm like, you know what, forget about that, let me get a coach. So I hired a coach, and I think it took us 4 or 5 months, and I was on it. It was during Ramadan, I was fasting, and I'm still working on it. And I'm like, you know what, I'm not gonna take a break because it's Ramadan, because if I do take a break, then I have to start all over again. So I just went through it. And within 4 months, I said, Mike, before I hit 50, I need to get a muscle up. He's like, you're going to get it way before that. So I think it took 4 or 5 months, and I got one muscle up, and then that's it. And then I just started working, and I keep, you know, pushing myself. So yeah, I did have to hire a coach. And then for speed training, I did last summer, something totally different. I was in a group with these college students, and I was so intimidated, because there are these kids, they play football. And here I am, mother of three kids, never ran, who does not know how to sprint or anything, don't know all these reaction drills and everything. And I said, no, it's okay. Just do it. And I did that. And really, really enjoyed it. I really did. I had a coach at that time, and now I have, I'm going back to boxing. So I have another coach.
That's super cool. Super cool. Especially like in fitness, like you can easily get into a rut of like doing the same things over and over again. And I remember for us, like we were big into powerlifting for so long, and we just do like the same few lifts over and over. And like, we kind of get to the point where we're like, you know, we're kind of like in a training rut. Like it wasn't exciting to go and just do heavy squats again and heavy deadlifts again. And then we got into kettlebells, and then we got into Olympic lifting and bodyweight training and mobility. And it's like, there's just so many different avenues in fitness that you can go through. All that's right. So exciting. So I feel like one way, like if you're listening on the other side, like you're kind of like in a bit of a rut, to try something new, hire a coach in a different arena, and you're going to get so much more excited. That's going to funnel back into what your original passion is. And it's just like, it goes back to the whole theme of like bringing all other sections of fitness together, because they are all trying to accomplish the same thing of trying to get you to be stronger and move better and all that sort of good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I just started doing muscle up. Now I'm learning how to do handstands. Mm. So it's just going from one to another. So now I'm kind of going in the calisthenics field, but at the same time, I'm doing boxing as well. I like to do different things. I like to try different things. I don't want to be stuck with one thing. And I feel like if I'm going to keep posting same thing, if I get bored, what about my audience? They're going to get bored of doing watching the same thing. So I like to do all these different things.
I love that. I think there is like, we've seen a lot of evolutions in the industry of like, when we were first coming up, it was very much like you have to just pick one thing and stick to it, and that's how you're going to get better at it. And like one sport athletes and like, you know, just like going all in on one thing to become excellent at that thing and no deviating from that path. And now, and then it's sort of like, then there was a time where everything was completely random. It was like muscle confusion and you should just always do different things. And that was like too much. Right. And now I feel like we've come to this point where like, if you want to get a muscle up, you have to train to get a muscle up. You can't just hope it happens. So you can't do random things to get there. It has to be structured, but then you can accomplish that and set a new goal, something completely different. And that keeps it fun. Absolutely. That keeps it motivating. I love that you're showing that.
Correct. One thing you would not see is cooking. That is never going to happen. That's never going to, the nutrition side, I don't think I'll ever come on that side because I just suck in cooking. So that's not going to happen.
We say that too, because we just cook the same things all the time. It would be so boring. It would be literally just like the same five meals over and over.
All right. I'm not creative when it comes to cooking, so that you will never see.
Yeah. What would you say? So, I mean, the fact that you took that you went into a training camp basically with a bunch of young football players, like, and you said you were scared, like that was, it was intimidating.
I was scared.
How did you overcome that fear to then get to the other side? Because I know a lot of people might see something, they might not go for that, but they might think about doing a spin class or, you know, a group exercise class, and they look in and they see people that don't necessarily look like them, or they don't feel like they fit in, and they feel overwhelmed to take that step. And how did you do that? And how would you encourage other people to do the same?
So I did had a friend who was with me. She's the one who encouraged me. So I was kind of happy that I have somebody with me. I say, if you're scared, get a friend or someone that you know, you can work with. But at the same time, I'm like, I have to put my fears aside. If I want to learn something, I'm not going to let my fear overcome me. So I'm going to put that on the side and that's it. I'm just going to do it. If I make a fool out of myself, that's okay. But I told those kids, I said, look, I'm 42 years old. I'm mother. I'll still let you know. So they're like, oh, so now they know that I am not anybody from college. She's a mother. So they kind of look at you in a different way. So they're like, okay. But no, they were really nice kids. You know, they really helped me up. You know, they really hyped me up and all that stuff. So it's really good if you can, like I said, if you can have a partner, but you have to put your fears aside. If you want to learn something, if you want to accomplish something, you got to put those excuses on the side in order to, you know, achieve your goal.
I love that. And sometimes when you go into something with more fear, you come out the other side being like even more confident because you're like, I survived that. Nothing bad happened, even though I was so afraid.
Absolutely. Correct. And you know what? I'm so looking forward to do that next summer as well, because I want to do it again.
I love it. I feel like it does show people too that, like, you know, just having confidence in yourself and who you are is a big factor as well. Like you going in there and just saying like, this is who I am, like putting it out there. Right. And just being like, it's on the table. So no judgments.
Just like, to whatever, let you just, know. Exactly. Just to let you know.
That's a great strategy.
Were you always confident when you were younger? Cause like hearing about your story, it's like, you're talking about like creating the makeup channel and then creating in the fitness channel and then reaching out to Under Armour when you had 6,000 followers and like going through all these sorts of iterations. Like there's a lot of belief in yourself. Like, have you always had that? Did you cultivate it? Like, how'd that happen?
No, I was not confident at all. Like I said, like growing up, hearing all the things being compared with my sister, telling me that I'm not as pretty, I'm not as big, I'm not as skinny. And I'm not sure about your culture, but in our culture, being fair is a huge thing. Like if you're more white, you're more pretty, you're more beautiful. And if you're dark, you're not that pretty. So that was part of our, like, you know, the culture that I come from. Same thing, my sister is more fairer than I am. So everything, you know, it was just like, I had no confidence at all. No confidence at all. I don't even know how I got it, but it's just me. It has to be social media, you know, putting myself out there slowly, and, you know, saying, okay, not caring about what people have to say. I think that's built my confidence. But I have to say that makeup did not give me that confidence, but sport, being athletic, being strong, gives me that confidence to walk in a room full of people and not be afraid or shy or anything like that.
Mm. It's actually interesting hearing you say that too, because it's like makeup is almost, and I love makeup, so nothing against it, but it's almost putting a mask on. Like it's almost
correct
hiding yourself. And fitness correct is a little bit more about exposing yourself and putting yourself out there, right?
Correct. Correct. But I feel like knowing that you're strong and you can do all these things, I think that gives me the confidence.
Mm, that makes so but much makeup, sense. Mm-mm. Yeah, that makes so much sense. Because then you take it off and you're like, oh. You don't take your muscles off at the end of the day. They're sticking with you.
Correct. Yeah, I definitely had similar like kind of an upbringing, especially with my culture. And I feel like I started to develop more confidence. Like, I think the toughest part is whatever like leap of faith that you try for the first time. And after you do that leap of faith, it's kind of like, oh, like even if it didn't go like as planned, like nothing really bad happened. It's like a lot of this like lack of confidence is like in your head about like what could happen when correct people judge me, view me a different way. But it's like you take small little steps and you realize that, oh, this is all just for me. So it's like you might as well just keep pushing along. So it's like very action oriented, it seemed like, how you kind of broke out of it.
Correct. No, that's so true. That is so true.
Yeah.
So now you are actually a trainer on a fitness app. You're actually working with Evolve You and you're taking on that. So you had originally said, I'm not going to be a personal trainer. Like, that's not going to be my thing. No. How did you then decide to make that jump, that next step?
So I remember that Under Armour was having this huge summit in Portland, and they're like, someone, sorry, we cannot invite you because you're not a trainer. We're only inviting trainers. Mm. I was like, oh. Mm. Mm. So I took a course. I said, I have to be there. I want to go. I want to see what's happening. So I took a course. I became a trainer. And that's how, okay, you know what? Now that I have, because I was getting a lot of people telling me, oh, can you train us? I said, look, I don't feel comfortable. I don't have a certification. I don't want somebody just to ask me, oh, do you have a certification at the end? And then say, so I was like, I want to make sure that I have a certification. Then I can, you know, train you guys. So I said, okay, might as well get a certification. I got my certification. I went for the Under Armour Summit or whatever. And then after that, I started training other people. And I am still training once in a while. But then again, I got approached by Chrissy Chella, who is owner of the Evolve You app. And she said, would you like to be our trainer? I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I became their fifth trainer in April. This past April, and I went to Chicago. I filmed all these workouts for them, and then I started designing a program. So my program is called the Focus Program. That's dedicated to HIIT, so you can do it anywhere, you know, everywhere, basically in the gym or at home. It's for people who are busy. They're short workouts, but you know, you can do it three times a week. There's three levels of my program. It's like for beginners, intermediate, and advanced. So it's an amazing program. It keeps you, and it's for anybody and everybody. I mean, if you're a beginner, you can try the beginner's program. And like I said, there's like zero minimum equipment, probably dumbbells you're required, and that's it. So if anyone wants to try it out, it's an amazing program.
That's so
amazing.
Cool.
Now, something that you glossed over was that you flew out and you filmed all these workouts and all that. Like, yeah. That like, was that like terrifying for you? Was that like, or did you love it? Like, did you like being in front of the camera and speaking? Like, how'd that go?
So with the Evolve You app, there's no speaking. It's okay. Just the workout that you have to do, exercise. And when it comes to that, I'm totally cool.
Yeah.
So any photo shoots that I go to, I make sure if there's any talking or not.
Yeah.
But this one, it was just like exercises. And no talking at all. So they just, I just recorded like 200 exercises and that's it. Basically the workouts that I usually do, obviously something not, I'm not doing anything that I don't do. So the workouts that I do, so it was 200 to 250 or something like that.
Wow.
And that's it.
Amazing. Yeah. That's it.
That's it. That's all. Just a couple hundred.
That's awesome.
You said that your next goal is a handstand. What created that goal for you?
So because I hired a calisthenics coach, right? So he's like, okay, because you have your mobility is really good and your shoulder, you have strong shoulder, why don't you try handstand? I was like, yeah, let's do that. So now I'm still working on the muscle up because the muscle up journey is so hard. Mm. Now that I can do a muscle up on the box, but now the second one is to just walk and then do a muscle up. Then it's a dead hang. That going from the box process to just walking and doing like holding the bar is just different. Like there's so many processes that you have to go through. It's not easy.
Yeah.
So I'm still working on that. But I'm also working on the handstand now. Let's see how long that takes though.
Now we have, throughout our entire personal training careers, a lot of people's goals is to be able to do a pull-up. And oftentimes, the more they're focused and dialed in on doing more and more pull-ups, like it almost makes the journey like tougher and like less enjoyable because they're always like hopping up in the bar and being like, oh, can I try a pull-up? And if they can't get it, then they get discouraged and all that. Like, how are you approaching muscle-ups and handstands? Like, do you get frustrated along the way or are you just like, okay, it's just another day to practice what I need to practice and then go about my workout like that way?
No, there are times when I do get frustrated, but sometimes it's better to just take a break. That's it. I don't do it every day, of course, because obviously I can get injured or it's going to be too much for me to handle. So I'll do it every other day. But there are some days where I can get 2-3 muscle ups, and there's some days it's not happening. So you just let it go. Just, you know, recover. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I didn't have enough sleep. Maybe I didn't have good food or something. It could be anything. So I just take a break from it and then go on, you know, 2 days later, just need a break. Sometimes it's better to regress in order to progress. So I just pause and then, yeah.
So
go back at it again.
So are you able to kind of like emotionally kind of detach and be like, okay, it could have been this, it could have been that.
Yeah.
Like, let me take a mental break and then go at it again.
Yeah. And then go back at it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Giving up is not an option.
Yeah.
Take a break, but don't give up. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with those skills where it's like, it is so finicky. It's like one day you can do 5 pull-ups and the other day you do 1. And then some days like you feel like you can barely pull yourself up. So it's like, it's so important.
Absolutely.
To just like take a step back and be like, you know, what am I doing this for? This is for me.
Yeah.
Let me just kind of like take my time because it's going to be a long journey anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You cannot get you can't see results overnight. It takes time. And you have to put the work in. You've got to put the work in.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Oh, well, we need to do some sort of either push up or pull up like
collab,
duet. Yeah, collab. I always am so inspired by
for sure.
Your push-ups, especially push-ups. I'm like, how did you get so strong at push-ups? Like,
honestly, you know how some people like, especially I know most of the females, we loved doing lower body. And even if they're doing upper body, they somehow, you know, want to do something with the lower. So me, I'm the other way. I like to do upper body. Even when I'm doing like lower body, I'll still add push-ups. Like if I'm doing like lunges and I'm taking a break, so my active rest would be like just 10 push-ups or 12 push-ups or whatever. I don't know why. I just love push-ups. And I want to make sure, like, you know, I get as many as I can every day.
You're just greasing the groove, just continuing to make sure that they're there. Yeah. That's how I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm that way with handstands. I just walk around my house on my hands because I was a gymnast. So
well, there you go. Wow.
It's how you keep it in your system. You just got to keep practicing over and over again.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how you get better at it. You just got to keep practicing it.
I'll be hanging out with Lauren. Like we'll be like in like an open area, like even like at an outdoor wedding where there's lots of grass and present.
Not if I'm wearing a dress.
I see Lauren just kind of like, she starts to like kind of like start moving around a little bit, like her hands, like her wrists start moving around. I'm like, want to do a handstand? She's like, I want to do it so bad, but I'm wearing a dress.
Just open space. It's just like too inviting.
Free reign. Yeah.
And push-ups, honestly, it's like something, handstands too, it's something that you can always do. Like, you don't have to be at the gym. Correct. You don't have to be anywhere. And actually, one last thing to bring it back full circle to the beginning for you is you mentioned that getting out of the house and going to the gym was a great like stress reliever for you, especially early on in motherhood. And I think a lot of times, it's always dependent on everybody's individual situation and circumstance. But a lot of times moms are told like, just get a workout in during a nap, like in your living room, or just, you know, like do squats with your baby in your arms and stuff. And for me, getting out of the house was a huge factor in my happiness and my well-being. And I think it's important that you mention that, because for some people it is about like leaving, like getting out of the house and clearing your head. Was that a really big thing for you, is to actually be able to get out of the house?
So like I said, like with my first two kids, I worked out at home.
You did.
I used to watch those. Yeah. Jillian Michael.
Yeah. Jillian Michael.
Yeah. So Jillian Michael, there you go. I used to watch her videos and I used to just follow her. My kids would be like playing or like, you know, sleeping, whatever I could, but I used to move a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's only when all my kids started going to school, that's when I joined the gym.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you found success in just working out at home, and that was good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so funny you bring up Jillian Michaels, because, you know, a lot of personal trainers rip on Jillian Michaels, right? And it's like, especially like earlier on in our training careers, we would be like, Biggest Loser is not good, Jillian Michaels is not good, and all these celebrity trainers that would promote lots of very weight loss heavy focused training as like, this is damaging and whatnot. And yeah, to hear you be like, actually, I got my start with Jillian Michaels, and it was actually like a beneficial start for me is cool to hear, because now it's like we are less kind of like judgmental about that sort of stuff. And we're like, you know, whatever works for you in this moment in life, like, who are we to say that you should not listen to this person or you should not do this or follow that? It's like, this is just part of your evolution and your journey. And that's what got you going. It's like, who are we to deny that? So I think that's a cool, cool.
Yes,
thing.
I know.
Jillian Michaels and Sean T. Insanity. You should do that a lot.
I love it. I love it. That a lot. I think that you do an amazing job of relating to people who are not necessarily like so indoctrinated in the fitness industry, because you came up in a similar way to probably a lot of people who are looking to you now as their inspiration. Is like, they're just looking to get started and you're not telling them anything's right, anything's wrong, anything's good, anything's bad. It's just move. And that's an awesome way to approach it.
Correct. Just move.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Simone. This has been so awesome. We really appreciate it.
Same here.
So good.
No, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me.
You're the best. We can't wait to maybe even do it again someday.
You guys have to come to Toronto.
I know. We've never been.
Oh my goodness. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
We'll add that to our, in the summer though. We live in we live in New England, so
don't
it's cold.
In winter.
But I don't want to go in the winter.
No, not in winter. Not in winter at all. No.
All right. Finally, where can people follow you, continue to learn from you and support you?
So you can follow me on Instagram, SFM_fitness, or even on TikTok, again, SFM_fitness. And watch my journey.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye.
Take care.
And now for some key takeaways from today's episode.
Hello and welcome to the key takeaways.
Why did you say welcome?
Welcome. All right. Great interview. Again, I feel like this podcast is more for us to be able to talk to these people that we've been connecting with for a while. And Simon is no different. We've been following her for quite a while now. And I feel like we kind of like stumbled upon her page pretty early on in her journey. And I think we showed like her profile to each other, and then like suddenly she's just shooting up, and like suddenly she was with Under Armour and like all this sort of stuff. And we loved watching her journey. It was so cool to actually talk to her today.
Yeah, it was awesome. She was like as bubbly and like effervescent Wow, I really had a frog when I tried to say frog. That. This is, I mean, we have been, our whole family has, I feel like the theme of this podcast for this half of the year has been somebody sick.
Yeah, it's, this should be called unreasonably sick.
Unreasonably sick at all times. Kinsley, our daughter, just got diagnosed with RSV, which is like a respiratory thing that happens to like pretty much all kids, but some of them get it worse than others. Anyway, I think I got a little bit of it.
Kendrick was in the emergency room. And then 2 weeks later, I think a week and a half later, I went back to the emergency room with Kinsley because of RSV. And the doctor, we had the same doctor. And she was like, "You're back again. Welcome. Now I get to see the other one." It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the interview.
Anyway, okay. So what I was saying was how bubbly, effervescent, and awesome Simon was. It was just so wonderful to like feel her energy coming through the screen. It would have been even more so in person, but it was a great interview.
Speaking of, we should definitely go to Toronto. I mean, we've heard so many good things about Toronto, but for the food scene, the Six, Drake, that's what it's called. Like the cool people call it the Six. I think it's, it has to do with their area code.
Oh, I had no idea. Darn it, I'm not cool.
Lauren's like, the Six?
I thought maybe it was a band or something. But anyway, yes, we should definitely go to Toronto. It's definitely on our list. And we have so many places on our list, and we haven't traveled in 3 years. So we're feeling very antsy about getting somewhere.
Let's go.
We're actually in the process of getting passports for the kids because we don't even necessarily 100% know where we're going, but we know we're getting out of here and like going somewhere this winter because... We just need to. It's time.
I know Kendrick will be obsessed with being on the plane, the whole experience and all that. So that'll be really cute as well.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. We're getting super distracted in this takeaway section, but let's get into some of our key takeaways from Simon's interview and our conversation with her. Do you want to start?
Yeah, there were quite a few, but the one I probably resonated with the most was when she was talking about just her like cultural upbringing and talking about how her parents would compare her to her skinnier sister and basically just talk about all of the sort of like generational, I don't know, would it be called trauma? Or like messaging that's kind of like passed on from generation to generation. And it's like, especially these cultures that are deep rooted in this sort of like talk about like weight stigma and diet culture and stuff like that. It's like, I definitely resonated with that myself because Korean culture is very just like deep rooted in that sort of stuff. And my mom and dad definitely still talk about weight. They talk about my sister's weight. They talk about my weight. If any change in fluctuation with anyone of our friends or loved ones, they notice it and they remark about it. And it's just like, it's just a thing. It's like very normalized to talk about weight in a very negative way, which seems kind of ridiculous. And, you know, I've tried to have conversations with them about it, but it's like, there's only so much I can really talk about when it's so normal for them. And it has been for generation upon generation. It's like, it's a difficult thing to sort of navigate. But yeah, I definitely resonated with that. And it's like, okay, I can control the controllables. Like I can talk to them about this sort of stuff, but also I can now stop that moving forward with my kids.
Exactly.
Right. So like, it's like, you know, do the best you can with what happened previously, but moving forward, like we know that we're going to be stopping that for our kids.
For sure. And that's what Simon was saying as well, is like, she was like, but I know I can. And then she's like, I mean, we, like, she was like speaking for everyone listening. Like, we can break these cycles. We can stop these cycles. Like, we don't have to play into, oh, this is just my culture. Oh, this is just how things have always happened. Like, we can break these cycles. And that is almost easier than trying to go backwards and trying to fix what has already happened, you know, like, and that's probably more, I don't have the same experience as you two, but probably more for yourself, something that might be necessary, and maybe more for her that might be necessary, to go backwards and try to heal whatever happened with your family in the past. But for as far as making a change, as far as moving forward with your own family, like just being so intentional with the language that you use now and making sure that you're not, what's the word?
Perpetuating.
That you're not perpetuating that cycle. Like that's what you can control, just like what you said. So I really love that, that take on, on how we can make a change and an impact. And we talked a little bit about this with Lucy Mountain about how a lot of times right now with diet culture and the conversation around it, it can get very like zoomed in almost and really focused on the minutia, on like specific words you shouldn't use and specific things you shouldn't do. And I'm not saying that any of that is bad necessarily, but it was nice to hear Saman talk about some of the like specific things that have been said to her, that if you're talking about diet culture in the way that we're typically talking about it right now, like that's so far to the right or left or whatever of what we're talking about. Like a lot of times we're talking about like, is, you know, in the Lucy episode, like is spiralized zucchini diet culture or not? Like that is so, it's really insignificant in the grand scheme of things. If you are thinking, wow, there are conversations happening in other cultures and other communities that are so much bigger and
just blatant.
Yeah. And so it was just a nice reminder of zooming out a little bit and thinking about, okay, what are the big picture things that we need to make sure that we're, you know, stopping and that we're communicating with our kids about, like, you know, we can get more granular and we can get more nitty gritty down the road, but like, let's think about some of the biggest things, not comparing our kids to each other, not talking about their bodies, not talking about our bodies. Like those aren't very specific things, but they are really impactful things.
Yeah. And I think it's something that we try to do with our content in general. Like the thing that we see with content creators is that you try to like outdo other content creators by having more of like a more of a hot take or more of a slightly different angle and this and all that. And it's like we always try to bring it back and think about what is actually going to be helpful for, you know, a large amount of people on the other side, rather than trying to show off this kind of like really nuanced hot take. It's like, okay, let's scale this back, let's simplify things, and let's try to promote content that has a broader reach. And, you know, of course, at times we'll try to like narrow down and stuff, but yeah, there's a lot of big rocks that can be tackled ahead of time.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. Thank you. Great summary.
What was your takeaway?
I really loved when, and this was, I'm like, doing a takeaway of something that you kind of were talking about, but I really, maybe that's why it's easier to have as a takeaway, because it was like me listening in on your conversation a little bit. But you mentioned, or you brought up how when she talked about that Jillian Michaels was someone that she kind of like got her start with, like she was following Jillian Michaels and who was the other one? Shanti,
yeah. classics.
Yeah, I mean, doing their home workout videos and like that got her going and got her into fitness. And you mentioned how a lot of times in the fitness industry, we tend to try to demonize certain people or certain methods or certain ways of doing something because it might not be in alignment with the way that we would do something. And there's like, I kind of feel two different ways about this. I'm holding multiple truths, going back to Ashley Mitchell, about this, because in a way, when I hear Jillian Michaels, I think of body shaming. I think of a lot of negativity.
Biggest Loser screaming.
Yeah. And I don't ever think that I would consider that a positive for someone. So I'm like, there are certain things that I think I would not just say like, yeah, you know what? If she helped you, great. Like I have some things that I'm holding on to, some negativity that I'm holding on to in that area. But on the other hand, you talk to someone like Saman and like, and she had, like she mentioned, she had sort of some negativity around her own body image and she was just trying to lose weight. And so that could have, you know, watching Jillian Michaels could have sent her on a more negative path.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
Yeah.
So it wasn't bad for her.
I'd be interested to talk to her again, because as you're saying this, I'm thinking, you know, because of all the multiple generations passing on all this sort of messaging, it's like you're getting it so close to home that it's like, who cares if this person on TV is saying this stuff? It's like you've experienced it from your own family. So it's like it has much less of an impact. You're like, you're kind of desensitized to that message.
That's so
interesting. Wondering if like, if you haven't been hearing that messaging and all of a sudden you get like blitzed by this person on TV, like how it could have a much more negative impact on your overall outlook on this sort of stuff.
That's such an interesting, I wish we could ask her. Let's go back and ask her. I'm so curious.
just shoot her a quick DM. Like, this will be just a 1 minute response, but what do you think?
But how has this impacted your entire life? That's a great point. But we just to go back to what you were saying is we do need to remember and keep in mind that just because we might feel a certain way about a certain person or a certain company or a certain method within fitness doesn't mean that it isn't helpful for some people. And we need to like let that be the case,
yeah.
You know, and not just like constantly be fighting against it because we don't necessarily agree with it unless it is overtly causing harm. And so that's where I'm feeling this push and pull and a little bit of a tug here, because I feel like there are some instances where it's causing a lot of harm. So what do we do?
Yeah, totally. And it's kind of definitely a tricky line to navigate. And, you know, what I said in the interview was that when we first started, it was just so easy to bash on Jillian Michaels and Tracy Anderson. And there were like all those sorts of diets, like the Zone diet. And there's just so much out there. And it just felt like we could easily just bash everything, or we could just iterate what our approach is, what a better methodology would be. Because we kept coming back to like, we don't want to bring more negativity into the industry. We want to bring more positivity and less like misinformation and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's like, we don't have to agree with what they're doing, but we don't have to bash what they're doing either. We can just put out what we think is the best way to do it. We've talked about this a lot in a lot of different episodes, I feel like, but instead of focusing on what's wrong over here, let's just focus on a different way to do it over here and hope that we're loud enough and that we, you know, we're creating enough kind of waves in that direction that other people start to join in and like realize that it doesn't have to be all about weight loss. It doesn't have to be all negative. Shame. It doesn't exactly like, but we don't have to play into putting more attention on that side of things. Like we can just kind of try to move forward in a more positive way. So
yeah,
it's, I guess that is the answer then to my predicament in this takeaway is like, how do I feel about somebody getting a start with Jillian Michaels? Like, is that a net positive? Is there still some issues? Like it is like, okay, don't worry about that. Hopefully that whoever, you know, hopefully people who have had good experiences just had a good experience and we let them go and we don't try to convince them that it wasn't a good experience.
Yeah.
Right. Like I think that's where we get caught up is like, if somebody had a good experience following a Jillian Michaels video, what's the point in us saying, well, she's problematic.
Yeah.
Like what's the point in that? They had a good experience. They moved forward. They're continuing on with a good trajectory. Great. There's no reason for us to be negative toward that person or toward that path.
Yeah.
If somebody had a bad experience, we can then say, hey, it doesn't have to be that way. Here's another way that you can go about it. So I guess that's.
Yeah. I mean, we just had a lot of different instances of that, right? Where it's like people would be like, oh, I couldn't really get into a good routine, but then I followed this person's follow along YouTube workouts. And like, that's what really helped me like get on the right path with all this. And like, or I followed this diet and that's what really kickstarted things. And it's like, yeah, who are we to just go out there and be like, no, that's not good. That was a really bad start. Like you're instilling bad habits. Like, yeah, it's just not, it's a net negative contribution that we're trying to give there. So, it's just interesting. I like talking these more like nuanced things instead of just being like blanket statement. No, this is not good. That person is dispelling or disseminating not good information.
Yeah. You and I have had a lot of conversations where we go back and forth on this kind of stuff all the time because we do have slightly different mindsets around, diet, like diets in general, or even like approaches to eating in general. And so, you know, I remember we had a pretty like heated debate about Weight Watchers. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And you were like, well, it has worked for, you were mentioning somebody at Achieve who it quote unquote worked for several times. And in my mind, I'm like, it's not actually working if she is losing weight when she's on it and gaining weight when she's off it and doing these fluctuations and feeling good about herself when she's at a lighter weight and bad about herself when she's at a heavier weight. Like our idea of something working at that time when we were having this conversation was very different. You were thinking like, well, the goal was to lose weight and she went on this diet and lost weight. So technically it quote unquote worked. And then it didn't work when she was off of it. And then, I think I'm going in circles now, but basically I don't think that that's something that's working. I think that's something that is like creating a negative cycle for someone. And so we had a lot of conversations about that.
Yeah. You mentioned it was a heated conversation and I think it was heated on your end. We were just on a walk and I was like, wow, well, you had a lot to say about this.
I think I just did the same thing I did to you, which is like, it wasn't a conversation. I just dug in on you.
And I was like, she said it worked. So I'm just saying that it worked for her.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if we're about autonomy, like, should I say like, it's not working for you?
Fair enough. Boom. Oh man. Well, so this is why it's complicated, but yeah. I just want you to say that I'm right, though.
you're telling me that I should have just mansplained to her why it wasn't working for her.
No. You know, because it was, yeah, I don't know. That's the thing, is like in the moment when she's happy and like, I'm glad that this is working and it's doing all the right things. It is very hard as a person receiving that information to be like, well, it's not really healthy. What you're doing is kind of creating this up and down cycle for yourself. It's very hard to do that when somebody feels like they're in a good place. So I'm not saying that you should have done anything differently, that either of us necessarily handled it well or bad or whatever. That's not even what I'm saying. It was more just like when the conversation started, I think it was more around like, oh, that was something that worked for that person. So who are we to say it didn't work? And my point was like, I wouldn't say that it worked. Mm. So that was kind of the dispute. Yeah. The like actually in-person moments where you're having those conversations are extremely hard. And I think that it is not typically like talked about in a realistic way. Like, how would you approach this conversation to a person who's standing in front of you,
yeah,
and telling you that they're happy, that they're losing weight, and telling you that they're, you know, not having as many like treats, and they're not like, you know, like these things that you know are potentially going to cause some difficulty down the road, and you want to let them know that, but you also don't want to, like, I don't know why the term yuck their yum is coming up, but you know that term, like somebody's happy about something or somebody likes the taste of something, and you're like, ew. And it's like, well, I like the taste of it.
Yeah, you're like raining on their parade.
Yeah. That's the actual phrase, raining on their parade. So it's just hard. It's not something that I think a lot of people consider when the talk online is like, this is bad, this is terrible, you should never do this, blah, blah, blah. It's like when you're face to face with someone, try telling them that. It's a lot harder and you need to be a lot more delicate with your words.
Yeah. Something I'd be interested in for our listeners is if you could DM us at Reasonably Fit Pod if like a diet has been in the long term helpful for you or really detrimental for you. I'd be interested to hear some like just answers in a safe space just to get some perspective. Cause yeah, it's like some people might be able to use, like it's really difficult. Like the advice that we give is like, think about like things in moderation and eat sustainably and, you know, all sorts of stuff that's a little bit more kind of like free flowing. We want to be as like just flexible as possible. Mm-hmm. But I feel like some people initially just need some parameters. And I feel like when people hop from diet to diet, like ultimately they're looking for parameters that they can use in a sustainable way later on, yeah, kind of thing.
I totally get it. I mean, I feel the same way. Like I've done a lot of diets. I think in the grand scheme of things, none of them were good for me. I don't think any of them worked, you know, like I don't think any of it was good for my mental health, for my physical health, but I do understand what's in certain foods and like how certain foods make me feel because I've taken them out and put them back in. And like, you know, so like I now know that I think I talked about this recently, but like a high carb diet for me is a good diet for me. But I never would have known that if I hadn't taken carbs so far out of my diet and felt so horrible that then when I reintroduce them, I'm like, oh my God, carbs are great for me. Like that is a good approach for me. So I do understand that perspective and being like the more things you try, the more you can understand what makes you feel good, what doesn't make you feel good, as long as you also kind of like, I think it depends on the intention that you're trying it with.
Yeah.
Right. So if it's always about feeling a certain way about your body and like wanting and hating your body, if it's coming from a place of like self-hatred,
yeah,
I think that tends to just be a net negative.
I think that's the issue, right? It's like, these diets are never just like a self experimentation. Mm. It's paired with looking in the mirror each day and hating it and or weighing yourself every day. And like there's everything around it is what's really causing this whole experience to be so negative, yeah. Right?
But something recently that I realized is that a lot of people talk about this. This shocked me, actually. So I've seen people.
She's shook right now.
I'm shook because I've seen people say that they are health at every size coaches or intuitive eating coach, not necessarily maybe not intuitive eating, but like basically saying like they're body positive coaches. And then they take a macros, like if it fits your macros approach. Mm. And I was so confused by that when I first started seeing it. I was like, how can you say that you're body positive, but you're counting your macros? And then I started looking more into it. And a lot of people are saying like, this is more freedom than any other diet. You're not worried about keeping certain foods out. There's no eliminations. There's nothing about that. It's just understanding how many carbohydrates are you getting? How many grams of fat are you getting? How many grams of protein? Yeah. And for me, the initial feeling is like, that's still too much. Like that's still obsessing over food. That's still like creating like so much pressure around what you're putting in your body. But for other people, they might see that as a ton of freedom. Yeah. And maybe a different time in my life, a different part of my journey, I might've also seen that as a lot of freedom and felt like that was a really nuanced, like open way of thinking about food. So I have to keep in mind too, and if you are going to submit sort of like if something's good, like has worked or hasn't worked for you, I'm going to make sure that I'm taking some of my previous like baggage of dieting out of the picture because I do want to know like what is working, what has been harmful, what has been helpful. Like I'm very curious because that one really opened my eyes to a different perspective on counting things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And what's interesting is that when you hear about these debates and arguments and yeah, just like heated topics, it's almost like it's more just like the experts going after each other.
Yeah.
And you see like the comment section and a lot of people on both sides are like, oh, this worked really well for me or this worked really well for me. It's just like the experts are just debating each other on a lot of this stuff. Like we were just talking about the other day, we saw this one page, they're a controversial physical therapy page and they have a lot of practices that are, you know, a little bit nocebic and are telling you that you're broken and a lot of things and you have to take measures to correct things about your broken body. And, you know, we feel some type of way about them, but then you look at the comment section, they're like, oh, my back pain is fixed forever. Like this is still going so well for me. I love your program. And it's like, it's just interesting. Like yeah. There's just a lot of nuance behind all of this, and it's never a right or wrong answer in all of it. But we will keep continuing to spread what we think is the right path for us and all of the people that we've worked with in the past, and that's what we'll keep doing.
Yeah, but we'll keep being reasonable about it.
Yeah. I think the thing that we're proud about is not being dogmatic about either approach and understanding that there's always a person on the other side of this conversation that things will or will not resonate with, and it's all gravy.
It's all gravy. And it's starting to thunderstorm in our little area of New Hampshire, so yeah. I feel like we should end it there. Yeah. I feel like that thunder that you just heard, or maybe didn't hear, could have sounded like a stomach grumble or something, like we're getting hungry.
I'm
getting a little hungry.
Speaking
we're talking about
diet
food.
Talk.
Exactly. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. So again, so thankful for Salman coming on and sharing everything with us. It was just such an open and honest conversation. We really, really appreciate that. So make sure you go and give her a follow if you don't follow her already, SFM_fitness. And then also follow us at Reasonably Fit Pod on Instagram. There's that thunder again. Hopefully you're not hearing it. Reasonably Fit Pod on Instagram. Send us a DM with your diet stories. Let us know what's been good, what's been bad, what's been harmful, what's been helpful. And
our next guest is Thor. He's coming in right now.
I was like, what?
Marvel joke.
Anyway, actually, I believe our next episode is going to be a solo. I think we're going to do just a Jason and Lauren back to our roots, back to our beginnings.
You know, shout out to Lauren. Lauren has been handling a lot of just scheduling guests, planning for guests, editing these episodes, dealing with technical difficulties, and it's been a lot. It's been more than we anticipated. And shout out to Lauren for doing all the legwork on the podcast. I get to just show up and make sure all the cameras are working, but it's been a lot of work. But yeah, I think we might go to an every other situation.
I think so.
Just
yeah.
Because it's it's a full-time job basically that you're doing on top of everything else that you're doing. So yeah,
it is, but I'm enjoying it. So it's not like I'm not resenting it at all, but it is, it has become a little bit more work than I can actually technically realistically fit into my week. So I think going every other will make it so that until we have, you know, our very own podcast editor doing all the extra stuff, I think every other makes it a little bit smoother. So that is the plan moving
and that
forward.
That is our reasonable approach to podcasting guests, right?
We try to be reasonable in all areas
just
of
like
life.
Sustainability.
All right. So with that said, get ready for a solo episode next week. Back to guests the following week. We are so excited to continue bringing you guests and to continue bringing you nuanced conversations. And that is all.
Until next time.
Sweat out.
Happiness in.
Woo.